Good morning, it's Gavin King with you, filling in for John McKenzie, all thanks to Pacific Toyota. It's 8 minutes past 10 and really grateful for the time of our next guests. We're going to have a chat about the issue of Crocs. Should they be culled? What type of management practices should or shouldn't be in place? Of course, it comes on the back of the very, very sad news of a respected local up there near Laura, Kevin Darmody. Wildlife officers have unfortunately found remains in one of two crocs that were shot on Monday night. So very, very sad news there for Kevin's family and friends, crocodile attacked victim. So it has, of course, raised the issue of, are there too many crocs? Of course, Cape York perhaps is one unique area, but also reports of more and more crocs in urban areas around us here in Cairns. So very grateful for two gentlemen waiting patiently online. One of them is the state member for Traeger. He's a Queensland state leader of Katter's Australia Party. His name is Robbie Katter. Robbie, welcome to the 4CA Talk Show.
Thank you, Gavin.
And also on the line, we're lucky to grab some time with Mick Bender. Now, Mick is a croc expert from an organisation called Community Representation of Crocodiles, which of course shortens down into the acronym CROC. So we're appreciative of his time as well. Mick, welcome to the 4CA Talk Show.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Robbie, I might just go to you first if I can. You spend so much time in regional Queensland, you know the issues, you talk to people here on the ground, obviously this tragedy that occurred a few nights ago. Just your thoughts, Robbie, what do you think should happen in terms of croc management in Queensland?
Well, firstly, I'd just say I don't like saying stuff in response to that tragedy because I'd hold this view before then,
yes,
after then.
And, true, yes.
But it is, it's a timely time, it's timely to talk about it, and we shouldn't walk away from discussing what needs to be done from my point of view. So, I guess my value is that I talk to people on the ground, and that's mayors and fishermen, hunters, people that go out there. But more importantly, people that get to go enjoy our swimming holes. Now, I think I'm sort of incorrectly petitioned by the media by saying we just want culling. Well, no, we just want management that complements the use of our waterways. And that seems to always exclude controlling the numbers, which culling is, I guess, the crude term for that. So something similar to Darwin, where Darwin Harbour, 50 kilometres from the harbour, it's a zero tolerance. Now, there's no environmental collapse there of, impact on the ecology. And there's actually a lot of, there's a fair bit of scientific rigor to demonstrate the fact that there's no evidence to affect any in the freshwater systems, any big impact on the ecology. But it doesn't remove the risk of crocodiles, which everyone always says, well, they'll just move back in. Well, of course they will, but you can at least mitigate it. So it can help mitigate and try and stop the frequency of croc attacks in those well-used areas. I think we have to be doing that as a government, making it safe as possible for people to use those waterways. That's our position.
Mick Bender, I mean, that to me sounds like a nuanced, fairly sensible approach to croc management. It's not just about a mass cull, as some headlines might suggest. It's really about management, but perhaps reducing those numbers are a part of that. Your thoughts, Mick, on, I know you're not based in Queensland, but you, of course, would be across all of the rules and regulations. Your thoughts on the current regime of management of crocs, particularly in Queensland?
Yeah, mate, I am actually based in Queensland.
Oh,
I'm in southeast Queensland, and part of our organisation is based up in far north Queensland,
fantastic,
as well.
Great.
And it's great to hear that Robbie is open to crocodile management plans. And I'm stoked to be able to let him know that his job is going to be extremely easy for him because he doesn't actually have to do anything at all. Crocodiles have been on this planet for 260 million years, and they do not need the help of humans to maintain their population. So, in fact, science and previous examples show that by interfering with their natural population, it does actually make people more complacent, but they will actually repopulate, they will move into those areas. And it also has a devastating impact on the ecosystem. So I'm not too sure where Robbie's facts are coming from as far as it not having an impact, because it actually has a massive knock-on effect. As soon as you take out that apex predator, the whole ecosystem kind of crumbles down below it. Now, crocodiles are a massive part of far north Queensland and northern Australia. when it comes to tourism. And everybody that comes to Australia wants to see a big saltwater crocodile, and they go to northern Queensland, northern Australia to see large saltwater crocodiles.
But not if they're swimming at the beach or at a waterhole, though.
So that's part of their territory, you see. So you can't regulate that. And by saying that you are removing crocodiles, it does build a complacency. So people then think that they're safe to go swimming in those areas when they're not safe whatsoever. A crocodile could move in overnight. So by doing that, you are just making people become complacent and not croc-wise. The best thing for crocodile management is to manage humans. So as soon as we can get the croc-wise messaging across, then the safer people will be. Not one single attack has happened on somebody that has been following the croc-wise rules.
The science, though, would also tell us, Mick, doesn't it, that the numbers, the population of crocs have increased quite significantly in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they've increased a lot. And, you know, the reason for this is because they were hunted down to 5% of their population between 1940s to 1970s. Mm. They're at the brink of extinction. And when you hear that number saying that they've had a 329% increase in the decade leading up to 2021, of course they have. That's an animal that's recovering from the brink of extinction. Mm. So there's always going to be a massive increase. The current surveys have actually shown that the Queensland crocodile population is still listed as vulnerable. They're still showing that they are a recovering population. They're still not even at a stable
years.
Level.
So they're still recovering 50 years after you said that those numbers had started on the way back in
the 70s. Absolutely, yeah. And you know what, another interesting statistic is that between 1985 and 1990, when crocodile numbers were extremely low, there was 4 fatal attacks. In the last 5 years, there's been 2 fatal attacks, not including the one that happened the other day.
Mm.
So crocodile numbers have increased and croc fatalities and croc attacks have gone down.
So perhaps the croc-wise message is getting in because no one, certainly in our part of the world, wants to go swimming anywhere anymore. So maybe it is sinking in. Robbie, over to you. What would you actually like to see? I mean, have you got any detail in terms of your position there? I mean, do you have a number that should
be
reduced?
I'd like to respond to some of that.
How should that work?
I'm happy to give Matt a copy of the international study that I've got here on freshwater crocodiles, the biological review from Cambridge Philosophical Society on saltwater crocodiles. I'm happy to share that. On the, and it doesn't say there's no impact, it just says there's no evidence of any impact. And, you know, when that's like, I mean, anecdotally, show me the devastation of the mangroves or the ecosystem when the culling was done. But I'm not trying to advocate to go back to those
no, and no one is.
I'm just trying to say, I don't think their argument is as strong as it is where they encroach in these areas to take the numbers down. Mm. Now, Matt is saying, what he said to me is a euphemism for just me to learn to live with the crop. So let's put into practical example what you just said, Matt. I swim in the Gregory River, and you talk to anyone that's lived in Normanton and Cromer, say, mate, they're getting thicker up here, like definitely get bigger. Not everyone's saying cull them or reduce numbers, but everyone will agree they're getting much thicker up there. They're popping up in areas they've never been before. And curiously, you know, if you look at the journals of Leichhardt and even Captain Cook up in Endeavour, any explorers, they weren't exploding with numbers pouring out of the hills or the banks. It's never been a big place Queensland to have crocs. So, you know, it's all rubbery, these numbers and the baseline that you're working off with where the numbers are supposed to be back. I agree with you, Matt. They have increased back, but that still wouldn't account for it. And that was just, I don't even like using that 329% increase. That's only from 2011 to 2021. Not a great number to use, and it's sightings, but the government is conveniently very clandestine and very, you know, holds very close any real counts that are done. And I think there's a lot of incompetency associated with counts of the government do. And I might add, the same government told us that youth crime wasn't a problem for the last 5 years, according to their numbers and their counts. So I trust very little that comes out of the government in regard to their counts when it, you know, it doesn't align with their policy initiative. But you're telling me that I go and swim in the Gregory River where they just found a salty that climbed back up to it pushed up to where the pub is at the Gregory, where we all swim, 18,000 people in Mount Isa, and that's one of our playgrounds. But they move up there. So now there is a risk for my kids, my girls, to be where there wasn't before because it was. And if we applied a zero tolerance for crocs in the Gregory River where we swim, how's that hurting the ecology? And how would it hurt to mitigate that risk? I'd put it back on you. How would it hurt to mitigate that risk if there's crocs coming up there, be proactive and get rid of them, destroy them? Now, that's not big numbers. It's not going to smash the population. Mm. And it's not going to completely ever remove the risk, but it certainly will help. You could never say that it won't help to mitigate the risk. So what should I just learn to live with those Crocs because no one wants a proactive policy of making policy change? Should I just learn to live with those in Gregory? Or should I, if I don't want to take that risk, do I just tell my kids I'm not going to swim there anymore?
Yeah, so unfortunately, I think one of the things that you have to accept when you move into crocodile territory is that you do have to learn to live around them. So it's about coexisting. So
it wasn't.
That's what Robbie's saying, and that's what a lot of people are saying, is that there weren't crocs in some of these areas previously.
Previously, yes, in the 1940s through the 70s, there weren't because they were shot to the brink of extinction.
No, we're not talking about 50 years ago. We're talking about 10 years ago or 15 years ago.
10 years ago. Yeah, that's when they're still recovering. They've never had a chance to get back in those areas. That's how this is going to work. We need to have patience. We need to actually let the crocodile population grow, and it actually needs to get to a certain point where they are actually able to plateau, because we haven't allowed them to get to that point. The big crocodiles that we keep shooting, they're what we call the gatekeepers of the ecosystem. As soon as you start taking them out, that's when population gets out of control, which it hasn't yet, but it will get up to a point, and then those big crocodiles will actually kill and eat other crocodiles. They find their territories, and then they plateau. So that's what we need to be patient for. So those areas that you're saying never had crocodiles actually did have crocodiles in them before they were shot out.
Before there were hundreds of thousands of people living in the vicinity.
Okay, so Gavin, could I ask a question then to Mick? Hypothetically, if the numbers did explode, if we agree that they haven't exploded, but they did explode from this point, because I think we could all argue they're at a level now, even if we said they're not exploded, they're at a healthy level, which the IUCN, the international body, says they're stable. Saltwater crocodiles in Australia are stable level. It's only a government decision that's made them, that says they're vulnerable. So it's not the international body saying that. They're happy with the numbers. It's just politicians and governments have come in and said, we think it's vulnerable. But if we just still agree that it's just stable now, what if it exploded from here? Hypothetically, then would you agree that we should be able to manage the numbers from that point on if they're moving into areas they've never been before?
Well, that's where we really, like I said, we need to have that patience to allow and the ability to allow those big crocs to actually regulate their own population. They will push out to all the areas that they're capable of inhabiting. They will push slightly further south. They will move into these river systems where they once were, but then they will plateau as long as we give them that opportunity. Now, when it comes to swimming areas, I think what we need to be doing is doing more research into where the safe areas are and making that very nice and clear to people in those local areas that there is, you know, numerous safe areas where you can swim in the upper reaches of creeks, up under waterfalls where crocs don't get to. There's swimming pools. Maybe the government can invest more in actually making solid structures at the beaches, you know, those solid nets that doesn't entrap wildlife, but also makes a physical barrier where crocs and sharks and stingers can't actually get into those areas. Those are the kind of things where you can actually guarantee people's safety. By saying that you're removing crocs, you're not guaranteeing any kind of safety. People have to act exactly the same way in crocodile territory. They have to be extremely croc-wise. And as soon as people stop doing that, the croc attack numbers are going to go up. So studies have shown this. So the current statistics in Indonesia is that there's been 263 fatal attacks. And in Australia, like we said, there's been the two fatal attacks. The croc population in Indonesia is lower than it is in Australia, and they're still getting more fatal attacks. And that all comes back down to croc-wise messaging.
I completely disagree with some of this. And this, the conservationists will always just hang on to, you know, croc awareness. Now, I mean, we can invest in another 100,000 signs to put up all around the Cape York and the Gulf that tell people don't swim anywhere. And I object to the fact that, you know, even though mankind gets to develop, you know, we get to urban encroachment and, you know, everyone else that gets to do this down in Brisbane and the Gold Coast is urban encroachment, but where we get to enjoy our waterways, you're saying, no, it's got to be left free, we cannot touch it, and we can't provide any safe areas, or we can't, and I'm not saying that safe is ever going to be 100% safe. All I'm saying is mitigate the risk. So, Lake Placid in Cairns now, what you're saying to me is I'll never take my kids into the
Lake Placid. That's right, which is one of the favourite swimming spots in our city, Lake Placid.
Well, there was a water slide, I used to go down there, we swam those kids. There's no way I'd let my kids swim there now. And you're advocating, what you're saying to me now, I'd never send my kids there. So we just better put signs up. If we're being responsible, we advise you not to swim here. Or if you do, there's a high risk, which, I mean, really defeats the purpose. But, you know, I would be advocating that anything that comes within 20 km of Lake Placid, get rid of it, destroy it. Now, that's not, I can't feel that's going to hugely impact on the ecology. Yes, you'll still get crocs coming there, and you can still have your croc-wise education game around and say, look, be mindful what you're doing here. But I think the two things can coexist, which is the management and the awareness. I think that's a cop-out, that it's, that everyone just becomes complacent because you're trying to mitigate the risk. I mean, let's mitigate the risk silently then, and keep the croc wise, because that could still save lives, or save that fellow's dog, as it was a couple of weeks ago. But
It's a multi-pronged attack. Let me just put this both to you now. There's a committee of experts apparently here in Queensland. It's an independent panel. And now they have made a recommendation to remove crocodiles of 2.4 metres or more from populated areas. But that recommendation is still being considered by the Palaszczuk government more than nine months after it was recommended. So the report recommended annual removal of a, quote, modest number of crocodiles, 2.4 metres and above, on the populated east coast for the next several years, in addition to problem crocodile removal under current management plans. Mick, is that a sensible plan, or is it a recommendation by this independent panel? Still hasn't been enacted by the government 9 months after it was made. Is that something you could agree with, a modest removal of numbers?
I'm sorry, mate, but that sounds absolutely terrible to me. You know, a 2.4-metre crocodile can still kill a child, can still eat cats and dogs. It can still absolutely maim an adult and potentially kill if they're in deeper water. So that's not making it any safer. If Robbie here is saying that he can, cull crocodiles and then guarantee that people are then safe to swim...
No, he's not saying that.
What are you trying to achieve? You say, yep, we'll cull crocs, and then you can go swimming in Lake Placid at your own risk, but if you get attacked, then what?
Well, that's exactly the same as what you're saying, except I'm advocating mitigating the risk. You're advocating no mitigation of any risk.
The mitigation
other than the awareness.
I think you need to look a bit more out of the box, mate, other than just putting up more signs. I think we need to start putting up more infrastructure and smarter signs, and like I said, some actual smart and solid barriers that we can actually put in there and invest some money so that there's actually guaranteed safe areas.
Why not do those things, which are very sensible suggestions, but why not do those things as well as take, quote, a modest number of crocs for the next several years? Mitigate the risk as well as all of those great suggestions you've just made as well. Do it all.
Because that does have a massive impact on the ecosystem, and science supports this. So if you are removing those crocodiles, more crocodiles are just going to keep moving in, and then we're just going to have to keep removing crocodiles, which is absolutely devastating. This is an animal that lives in that area. They should be allowed to live in that area. And those big dominant crocs, the ones that you see sunning, basking, they're the ones that keep people safe. As soon as people stop seeing crocs, they start to think, oh, I might be safe to go swimming, and they make mistakes. And it's those big crocs that those tourism companies heavily rely on, right in Cairns, and all those outer towns up around Cape York, they rely on big crocs. People don't go to Northern Australia to see small crocs. They like to see 4-plus-metre crocs. They're even sometimes disappointed when they see a 4-metre croc. They want to see a 5-metre croc. And I want to see a 7-metre croc that people would have been seeing back before the 1940s.
All right.
Gab, can I ask one more thing then? Mick, if there's such a risk with removing that small number of crocs, and you're so sure that it would be that, can you tell me what the impact was when they were reduced to those small numbers? What was the evidence of the ecological damage there? The mangrove disturbance or?
Yeah, to support that in science, and it's the knock-on effect.
Tell us that now.
What was the damage?
Because there must have been some. What's some examples of that damage?
Well, it's all back into place now because the crocodiles are starting to come back up. So,
what was it at the time, though?
What was the damage?
Well, it's the same knock-on effects that we see with any keystone species that's removed. It's the animals that they eat then breed out of proportion. They eat out their food source, and then that food source below them collapses, and it's the knock-on effect.
For someone that's been here for four generations, a family, I thought I would have heard of what the impact would have been that it was. And I'm keen to learn, but I don't know what that, you know, whether the bat, whether explosion of barrel or the, you know, a reduction of this, I've never heard what that impact was.
And I guess the flow on is, I guess, Mick, that if there's a small number, a modest number, as this independent panel has recommended, if there's a modest removal of crocs, what damage do we think that would cause to the ecosystem?
Well, I think the better question is, if there's a modest removal of crocs, what does that allow people to then do? How does it make it any safer? Because I haven't heard it making things any safer whatsoever, so it seems like a pointless activity.
Mm. Well, Darwin Harbour, I think the people of Darwin would be a testimony to that.
Very good points. Look, I appreciate both of you. It's a heated debate, but it's one that we should continue to have. And I think, I don't know, if I could draw a middle line between both sides of this debate, it's not about a mass cull. It's not about some kind of silver bullet, a false sense of security. It's actually, there's a whole range of measures that perhaps we're not doing that perhaps we could. So, I don't know, maybe there is a middle ground. I just know, Mick, certainly living here, that I'm a little bit the same as Robbie, that I just don't take my kids even to the beach anymore, because it's the fear of things. And I guess, is that the way that we should live? I mean, not being able to go to the beach.
Is when you're going in areas like that, everybody around the world, when they go swimming at the beach, needs to take on the responsibility that there is risks out in the ocean. You could get eaten by a shark, you get eaten by a croc, you get stung by a box jellyfish. And that's each person's individual responsibility to accept that. And if they're going into those areas, they can't be putting those animals in responsibility for that. We can't be going out and punishing every shark that eats a human. Can't be going out and punishing every croc that eats a human. So if they want to draw the line in the sand and be like, right, you can go swimming at your own risk, but if a croc grabs you, it's not the croc's fault. That's where the line needs to be drawn.
All right, we might have to disagree on that last point, agree to disagree. But hey, Mick Bender from Crocodile Expert from Community Representation of Crocodiles, CROC for short, and to Robbie Catter, Queensland State Leader of Catter's Australian Party. We really appreciate you both being in this chat today. Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin.
Thanks, mate.
There you go. You might have some thoughts on that.